Church. Good morning, church. Let's find our seats. So this morning I wanted to just read the scripture over us. My wife and I were talking this morning about moments we had as kids getting lost. My wife has a story of getting on the wrong bus and not knowing where she was, and I was telling her about how when we moved into right before my sixth grade year, we moved into a new place, and it was my first time walking to and from school. And when I got out of school, my mom showed me where I was supposed to go, but when I got out of school, I was like, I have no idea where to go, and ended up finding a cousin that knew the general direction. And just these moments as kids where you're like, what do we do with this? So it got me thinking about just how like often we as God's children get lost, and not just like lost as far as like I'm lost in sin, yes, that, but also just like I try to take control over this situation in my life, and God's like, yeah, but if you just submit this to me, I can help you and show you the right way. And I want to read Psalms 25. This is verse 4 and 5 over, this is the Passion. It says, direct me, Yahweh, throughout my journey so I can experience your plans for my life. Reveal the life paths you have that are pleasing to you. Escort me into your truth. Take me by the hand and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. I have wrapped my heart into yours all day long. And this morning, that's what I want us to do. This morning as we worship, I just want our hearts to be wrapped in God's. That our hearts would just be wrapped in His. Because when our hearts are wrapped in His, we do what He wants us to do. When our hearts are wrapped in His, our hearts beat for what His heart beats for. And there isn't a question if I'm supposed to go this way, left or right. But we know because our hearts are wrapped in His. So this morning, I just would encourage us just to get our hearts in a space where it feels wrapped, it feels engulfed, it feels submerged in the Lord's. And that there wouldn't be anything in our lives that we would be trying to figure out on our own. There wouldn't be anything in our lives where we would try to make the decisions on our own, but we would say, no, God, is my heart wrapped in yours in this? As I worship you today, God, is my heart wrapped in your heart? And we just thank you, Father, so much for your glory. We thank you for who you are, God, and how much you love us, Lord. And I thank you, Jesus, that you're just like it's raining outside, that you're raining down on us this morning, God. You're raining down your presence, God. And we just ask that you would completely drench us in your presence this morning, Father. I ask, Lord, that there would be no distraction, that our minds would not be on what happened yesterday or what's happening this week, but our minds would be on right now, what you're doing right now. We thank you, Father, that you're in this space, that you're in this room. We thank you, Father, that you have chosen to pour out your glory on this house. And we just release that in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen.
champion. Giants fall with you, stand undefeated in every battle you've won. He's won them all. I am who you say I am. Nothing else but that. Thank you.
Us in pieces. He loves us in our pieces. He loves us when we're broken. He loves us right where we're at, no matter what. We love him in pieces. We're like, when this goes well, God, I'll love you. When I get my prayers answered the way I want them, I'll love you more. I'll talk to you more. And God is always standing there, and Jesus is always there at the place in front of us to show us he is there. He is not hidden, and he is waiting for us to step out of our only giving him pieces of us. He wants all of us. He wants us from the top of our head to the tips of our toes. He wants our good, our bad, our ugly, and our otherwise. He loves us in those dark spaces, and he loves us in the bright places. He will light those dark spaces up. He will bring light to your life and to your dark spaces, so that way you can see him. So you can see the love that he has for us, that he has for you. Pastor Mike is always telling us, we have the wholeness and the fullness of God when we receive him. He doesn't hide any of that from us. It's a mystery for us, yes, to figure it out, but that's the whole point. It's available to us for us to figure it out. And all it takes is lifting our hands in worship, lifting our hearts in surrender, and saying, yes, God. Yes, Jesus. I will do your will, Lord. I will lay down everything that I have and follow you. That is the hardest decision for us to make. Who wants to give up that control? But you know what? God will give it back to us in his way. He will give it back to us tenfold. All we have to do is say yes. And not just love him in pieces, but love him whole. Let him make us whole. Thank you.
like God's wanting to touch a few people this morning. Maybe you just hope to come to church and sing a couple songs and move on with the day. And I really feel like God is saying to some of you, press in. Press in, son. Press in, daughter. You felt depleted. And right now, I'm asking you to press into me. Right now, I'm asking you to press into the son. I'm asking you to press into a loving father that's going to take care of all of your needs and give you revelation and give you strength where you don't have strength. Press in, press in, press in. Thank you.
He rescues and saves. He rescues and saves what He does for me. He rescues and saves what He does for us. He rescues and saves and never stops doing it. Rescues and
outside of these doors. Lord, we just thank You for Your love and Your grace, Lord, that You love us wholly and completely. And Lord, we thank You for the privilege to be here today, to worship You and to learn how to serve You and then go out and serve You. We thank You, Lord, that we can come in and learn more of Your mysteries and then take them out and teach and give Your love to others around us, Lord. And we just thank You for that privilege. And Lord, we pray that You bless this service today. And Lord, let none of us leave here unchanged. We pray these things in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen. So hug necks, get coffee, and be ready to listen to an awesome word today.
Good morning, church. All right, so we are going to make a declaration over our city, amen. We believe in our city. We believe God loves our city. And so why don't you guys stand with me, and don't just stand to your feet. Let awaken your heart as well. And let's just prepare to speak life over our city, over every area. I want you to think about the place in our city that you avoid the most. And this is what I want you to speak into that space. I want you to think about the places that when your family, your friends come visit, you say, nope, we're not going to that part of town. And we're going to speak over that in Jesus' name. So let's do this on three. One, two, three. Thank You, Lord, for what You are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that You would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that Your will be done in the Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. God, I thank You so much for our city. I thank You for the valley. God, I thank You, Lord, that You're blessing this place, God. And I thank You, Jesus, that even the spaces, God, that we deem is unacceptable, that we deem is unsafe, Lord, that Your light will shine on that place, God. I thank You, Lord, for the vessels that are in those spaces that are willing to say yes to You, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, over First Street, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You would be in that place, Lord, surrounding, Lord, the mission, God, Lord, surrounding those businesses, God. I thank You so much, Jesus, that You love this place, that You love the Yakima Valley, God. And we pray, Lord, that Your blessing would be over our homes and over every person represented here in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. 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 You guys can be seated. So we just have a few announcements, some things that are immediate, some things that are in the future. So pre-service prayer, as you know, every week we talk about this, 9:45 to 10 downstairs. And again, this is just a moment where we get to sync hearts together over our service. And again, I would encourage everybody to be a part of that. And then there should be two other ones, buddy. Okay, so this one. This is a youth focused worship night, I should say. But the reason why I'm bringing it up is not just to put it on your radar for youth, but this is everybody's invited to this. So yes, it's youth focused, but it is for everybody. So September 9th is the actual worship night. September 10th, that is Simply Jesus' Church service. They're the ones that are actually hosting, not hosting, but they're the ones arranging this, organizing this. And so, but September 9th at the convention center, we are having a youth worship night. It's going to be a youth-led team. There's a gentleman out of California, Z is his name. He's going to be coming to minister. And so I'm just putting it on your radar now, put it in your calendars. This is something for all of us to come to. And I got to be a part of a prayer night this last week with Pastor Sonny, if you guys are familiar with him. He pastors Simply Jesus Church over on Summit View. And it was just a powerful moment where we just prayed into what God was doing. And I haven't experienced many moments like that recently. And I could just tell God is on this. And so if you can, if you're available, Saturday night, September 9th, make this a priority. And the next one, bud, I'm going to let my wife come up and talk about this.
So there's a women's conference in Sutherland, Oregon, which I feel it's connected with us. Yes, Gigi. They're a church at the Father's House that's affiliated with us through Grace International. And the people that are going to be speaking at this are just simply amazing. Like, I can't say enough about it. God will definitely, definitely be there in big, bad ways. It'll be October 6th and 7th, which is, I believe, is a Friday and a Saturday. Starting at 5:30 will be a dinner. Service will start at 7. And then it'll go into the next day. 9 a.m. to 2, and then, you know, we'll be released from there. But I would love, love, love for our Yakima Valley women. I mean, if you guys have friends that you think that would be interested in going, I would really encourage you to be praying on this. And I know it's like a 6-hour drive, but it's going to be so, so worth it. And I'd love to, if the more people that we can get interested, I can try to arrange transportation for us to maybe ride together, do a little convoy. I don't know, but I would be willing to do that if you women are interested. I would really love to have you guys go, because I just know God's going to do big things. And early bird registration is through September 10th, from now to September 10th, and it's $35. But if you, anytime after September 10th, it's going to be $45 until the day of, then it'll be $50. So the earlier, the better. Okay. All right.
Cool. So
let me know if you are interested or know of anyone, let me know and I'll start a running list and then we'll figure out from there, like what we're going to do.
Yeah, this is more or less to get it on your radar. In the weeks to come, we'll have a sign-up sheet. That way we can get kind of a list of women that want to go. But these type of things are important, you guys. I know when we look at dates like this, it can be daunting of like giving up a Friday, giving up a Saturday, giving up a night. But powerful things happen at these things. This is why we sacrifice some of these times. This is why, you know, us in youth ministry, we're like, we're taking our kids away for a week because it's important, you know, and that was time out of, you know, that we spent, you know, we used vacation time. We used time away from our family. We used, you know, but it's because it's important. And so ladies, definitely be praying about it. This is what I always tell people is don't just look at it and be like, oh, not going to happen. Pray about it. Submit it before the Lord. See if God maybe nudges you one way or the other. I think it'd be a great time. And so the last thing is this, just thank you guys for giving. Thank you for pouring your finances into this house. You know where you can give online or in the boxes. And I just pray blessings over your giving, over your tithes, over your offering. And we thank you for pouring into this house. Amen.
Amen. I knew we were going to do champions, but I did not know that line in it. What happened here? We're seated in heavenly places. That's the message today. And I've shared many times on the idea of being seated in heavenly places, but the concept is kind of does different pictures in all of our minds, I think, because we all have our different view of what heaven's like, what it means to be seated in heavenly places. But today I kind of want to show you what biblically what it means for us. In other words, what do we gain in our Christian life? What do we get to experience because of being seated in heavenly places? It sounds like an ethereal, amazing experience, but is there a practicalness of this that we can now say, okay, I can relate this to my life, and now I can be changed, I can be transformed, I can become more like Jesus. Amen? Amen. So I did this little picture. How many have heard the expression, location, location, location? Yeah. It's basically a term that's used for businesses. Or some kind of place that a lot of people need to go to. Sometimes it can be about a house, you know, the house that's in the most amazing location that has the greatest view and everything. So that's kind of what it's about today. It's like, where is our mind thinking? Where is our mind thinking as far as location wise? Are we thinking earthly based? Are we thinking our own circumstances based? Are we thinking based upon our own failures and our own experiences? And you know, maybe it's our own mindsets instead of kingdom things. Remember last week we talked about putting on and putting off, right? And one of the lines that was in the Ephesians 4 that I used was, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is really the key to understanding about being seated in heavenly places. It makes a great song, and it, you know, it's powerful. But if it doesn't really sink into our hearts to the place where we can receive it by, and then move by faith in this. You know, it's one thing to hear a saying and go, I really like that saying. It's another thing to hear a rhema saying that comes into our heart that we then apply by faith, and it brings transformation to our lives. And so I want to talk about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then we went on, and it says, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. What does that mean? That means that there is a new man, as we talked about last week. There's a new creation. There's a new suit that we can put on. Get rid of the old suit. And who's the new suit? It's Christ. It's the cloak of righteousness. It's not cloaks. It's really Christ himself. We're putting on Christ. If you remember right, it's Christ in us that does his good pleasure. It's Christ in us that makes us become more like himself. So we're going to talk about having our minds renewed and maybe giving you some truth that will help your mind become renewed. Amen? All right. So in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. I love that. He has, it's a finished work. How many know that when we have something, it's in the past tense, right? He has blessed us. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Now the thing is, spiritual blessings don't always manifest physically. They're not always something you say, oh, wow, here's this spiritual blessing. No, spiritual blessings can manifest physically because, you know, I believe part of the spiritual blessings that we receive is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, faithfulness, self-control. Those can manifest in our lives, and they are spiritual blessings. But there's also spiritual blessings that are beyond description. You can't really put them into words because it's what Jesus, again, did on the cross for us. The finished work of the cross, like Vicki was sharing, the wholeness and the fullness of God. That's part of that spiritual blessing that we've received. Then it says, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, not one or two, but every spiritual blessing. That's why we can say we're blessed. We're blessed in our coming. We're blessed in our going. We're blessed when we're sleeping. We're blessed when we're awake. We're blessed when we're at work. We're blessed at whatever we do. Because he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. But notice it's in the heavenly places. It's in that place where we're seated in heavenly places. It's not just when we're just doing our own thing that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. It's when we're in the heavenly places. What does that mean? That's when we're in this new mind, when we're operating in this new spirit of the mind that Christ wants us, when we're operating in the renewed mind, the transformed mind, the changed mind, not the same mind that you started with when you were first saved. How many know that when you were first saved, God opened up your eyes, says he removed the blinders, he removed the scales, removed the veil that the enemy has put up, the God of this world has put up to try to keep people from seeing the glorious gospel of Christ. And there was a transformation that took place. But you're not that same person like the day before you got saved. You've changed. You're now receiving a transformation in your mind and in your heart. You're not the same. None of us are the same. We're all changing from glory to glory. But some of us have received more transformation than others. And that's because we've allowed, as it said before in that previous, we've allowed the renewing of the spirit of our mind to take place. And this doesn't happen just by osmosis. Some people think, oh, I'm going to go to church, I'm going to listen to a message, and you know, it's going to help change me. Oh, it will help. But when you're really going to have receiving the renewed in the spirit of your mind is when you apply what you're learning. Maybe you'll hear something, a key on a sermon or a message one of us brings, or maybe you're listening to a song, or maybe you're hearing a word on the radio. Radio, do people still use the radio? On YouTube, on Spotify. What's the other ones? Prime, I guess. I don't know if Prime actually has. But anyway, the idea is that you're hearing something, and now you're going to take what you've heard. And it's kind of sparked something. I call it rhema. It's life-giving word that you receive in your heart from God. And it stirs you. It starts an initiation process. It's not the full process. Just like on a Sunday, if you hear something, oh, that's really good, and then you walk out, it says that the enemy will come and steal the word out of you if it's on a soil that you haven't prepared. Sometimes it takes preparation in your heart to receive these words. Sometimes you have to say, Lord, I want you to send all of your heavenly resources into my life and start tearing up this ground that's got a bunch of rocks in it, or that's not ready for your good seed to go in, or that's maybe already, sitting there waiting for weeds to come up. You know, put your herbicide on me and make sure that weeds don't come in and steal the word. So this renewing of our mind, the renewing of the spirit of our mind. Now think about that, the renewing of the spirit of our mind. It's a spiritual process. You know, we have a physical mind. We have a mind where we think about things here and we do things here and we act a certain way and we communicate a certain way. But there's a spirit of your mind. I think it's the hidden man of the heart myself. I think the heart and the mind are connected. If you look in the Word, we could go through and see how the heart and the mind are synonymous with one another in Proverbs and other places. But it really is necessary for us to have this heart and this mind, a spiritual life activated. Not just surfaced, not just reading the Word just to say you've read the word, not just listening to worship to say you've listened to worship. Let it change you. Let it transform you. Let it renew be renewed in the spirit of your mind by applying things. Okay. So it says here, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, I like this, even while we were dead in trespasses. Do you know that when we were dead in trespasses, what does that mean? That means before we were saved. That means before we knew Christ. God was rich in mercy so much because of his great love that he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses. What did he do? He made us alive together with Christ. Well, yeah, I'm just saying, what does this mean? Are you saying that even when I was dead in my trespasses, you made me alive together with Christ? That's what it says. Right? Even when. Not after, even when. So I'm telling you, if even when we were dead in our trespasses, we were made alive together with Christ, how much more now are we alive together with Christ? Yes. Now that we know that, now that we can say, oh, now that I'm saved, the blinders are off, I can now see clearly, I can now see what God's intention for my life is, and that's good and not bad. He has an abundant life in store for me. You know, he doesn't want to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy did. So now what happens? Now I have this alive together with Christ, but it's in my heart. It's not just something that's been done for me. It's something now that I can receive by faith. It's like the first time someone said, "Do you want to receive Jesus into your heart?" Yes, I want to receive Jesus into my heart. You know what you did? It says that God filled all of mankind, that he reconciled all of us to himself. But you know what you did? By faith, you agreed with what he already did. That created a finished work in you of receiving salvation. Now there's going to be a continual process of that for the rest of your life. You're going to walk out and have that sanctification of salvation take place in you, where you're being separated from the world and brought near to Christ. You know, just like the priest when he came before and was presenting the mercy seat, and he was atoning for Israel's sins. He was presenting himself before Messiah. That's what we do, and he was sanctified for that task. He was set apart for that task. We're set apart to be like Jesus. We're set apart to experience this new life in reality. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
There's power in the knowing.
Right. Yeah, it says in Ephesians 4, it says that basically it's through the futility of their mind, through the their darkened understanding and the blindness of their heart. That's what the world, that's what the rest of the world is happening. But we have a knowledge. We have the light of the glorious gospel. If we receive it. See, the thing is if we don't receive these things, just like salvation, if we can just stop at salvation if we want to as Christians and not move any farther. I know it's sad, but we can. How many of you have met people that have been saved multiple years, and yet they haven't changed? They, for whatever reason, whether it was hurt in their life, or it was you know, somebody that did something to them, or they couldn't get rid of something out of their life that kept them from moving forward in God. It's not that they're not saved. They're thankful for what God did for them. They received salvation. They just haven't changed. But I don't believe that of you guys. I believe that God's doing something greater in each and every life here, that you are changing. Because I believe that God is more powerful than the devil. And we believe that in this house, that God is more powerful than the devil. That you're not just a sinner saved by grace. The grace of God is helping you to not be a sinner.
Amen.
Right? You're not a sinner saved by grace. The grace of God is helping you to not be a sinner. That sin does not rule your hearts anymore. Because we have that capacity. That's part of this. We'll understand when we're made alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. That's pretty clear, right? What does that mean? God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is a supernatural empowerment to do something that you can't do yourself. That's grace. By that, we've been saved. You know, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves." In other words, you're not responsible for your salvation. It's by grace. And it says, "And it's not of works." None of us can work for our salvation. It is a gift of God. That's pretty clear. It says here, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Again, it's in Christ Jesus. It's not that, oh, I'm sitting in heavenly places, man, look at me. No, I'm sitting in heavenly places through the work of the cross, through the humility of the one who set all of his godness aside so that he could come in the likeness of man, so that he could come and redeem you and I. But when he did that, he raised us up together with him and made us. I like that. He caused us. In other words, he created circumstances in all of the cosmos so that we would be seated with him in heavenly places. I think that's pretty good that he's done that. Anybody else agree? I mean, he has taken us from a place of death, hell, and the grave, and he saved us from death, hell, and the grave. Not only that, though, he said, you know what? That's not good enough. You're now going to be seated in heavenly places with me. It says he did this so that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So it's not just for now. It's in the ages to come. The whole story of what it means for us to be seated with him. Okay. This is Colossians. So, if we're raised with Christ, right? We've talked about that before. We've been raised, right? We've made alive together with him and we've been seated in heavenly places. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. What is above? What's not below? It's that simple. I mean, we could sit here all day and say, okay, what's above? How do I think about? It's what's not below. In other words, if you're thinking of things that are of below standard, and we all know what those are, the Holy Spirit checks us when we start going down the wrong path. Unless you've given yourselves over to stuff so much that then you get a reprobate mind. But I don't believe that about any of you. I'm telling you, I don't. I believe all of us are challenged by the Holy Spirit with our conduct, with our behavior, with our thought process, with our speech. I don't think the Holy Spirit is letting any of us get by. That being said, we can think of things that are above. What's above? Well, let's think. Jesus, you were crucified for me. That's an above thought. Jesus, you love me. That's an above thought. I love my wife and my family. That's an above thought. I want to serve my wife and my family. That's an above thought. I want to serve the body of Christ. That's above thought. I want to see Yakima saved. That's above thought. You know, I want to see that jerk get into an accident. That's not an above thought. Right? The guy who just cut me off. I hope he gets in an accident. That's not an above thought. I mean, it's pretty simple.
Where's Jesse?
Now I'm meddling, right, Jesse?
I heard you.
Heard, as they say in cooking, heard. Anyway, the idea here is that we have the ability, like I said last week, we have the ability to take off the old man. We don't have, I mean, we make that choice. Every day we get up, am I going to put on the old man or am I going to put on the new man? When we get into a situation during the week and we're arguing with somebody, I can either remain, because I'm believing you guys stay in Christ, or I can drop that cloak and put on the old man. It's just a choice. We can choose to be in God or we can choose to be out of God. And if we're out of God today, tomorrow we can choose to be back in him. It would be better to stay in Christ all the time. I think that it would be more beneficial for us. I think we'd stay out of more trouble that way. We wouldn't get into much hot water. But if you do get out of Christ, you can get right back in Christ by setting your mind on things above, by remembering that you're seated in heavenly places. seated in heavenly places. Just, I want everybody to say that with me because it is a powerful statement. I know we sang it, but I want you to say, I am seated in heavenly places on three. One, two, three. I am seated in heavenly places. That's pretty good. Let's try it again. I am seated in heavenly places with Christ, in Christ, by Christ, through Christ. He's the reason we're seated in heavenly places. So if he's the reason we're seated in heavenly places, and it's by grace, do you think we're just going to like all of a sudden, you know, fall out of that grace to the place we're not seated? Nope. If he made us alive together with Christ, as we read last time, when did he do it? When we were perfect? When we were saved? When we received him? Didn't it say, even when we were dead in trespasses? I don't know about you, but when I was dead in trespasses, I didn't know who God was. I knew who kind of religion was, and that kind of stuff. I had no idea who God was, not until the scales came off my eyes. But even before that, I was alive together with Christ. It doesn't make sense to me. It's definitely supernatural. But I'm telling you, if he felt that way before when we were sinners, how much more now that we're his? Has he made us alive together with him? Has he seated us in heavenly places? All right, it's all about location, location, location. If you're thinking earthly, if you're thinking on the ground, you know, if you're thinking, you know, below those kind of thoughts, then it's going to be harder to become who God wants us to be. And I believe today more than ever, people need to see us as who God wants us to be. Not who we think we need to be, but who God wants us to be. All right. So set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Pretty clear. For you died. Wait a minute. I thought he made us alive together with Christ. Now this is confusing. What do you mean, for you died? Well, we'll see in a minute. But for you died and your life is hidden with God in Christ. I love that. If you think about it, so many people are like afraid of the enemy, afraid when he's going to... We're hidden in God.
In Christ.
Yeah.
In God.
In God, with God, in Christ. We're hidden.
No, you're flip-flopping it.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Jesus and God, yeah. She wants to... For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Amen? All right. So how did we die? Let's see here. Galatians 2:20. I talked about this a little bit last week. This is a verse that you guys need to memorize. It's not hard. It's just a matter of purposing to do it. You have to say, you know what? Memorizing scripture is memorizing God's abilities to speak to me. Or giving God an opportunity to speak to me more readily. Or giving me more opportunities by having that word hidden in my heart to share that word with others in opportune times. So I have been crucified with, let's read this together. I really like hearing you guys' voices. On three, everybody, it's one, two, three. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I've been crucified with Christ. What does that mean? I died. Remember what it just said back here? For you died. How did you die? You were crucified. No, Pastor Mike, don't say that. Don't say we were crucified. Jesus was crucified. Same thing. What do you mean? Because he became sin who knew no sin. He became your sin. When he was on the cross, my sin was with him. 2,000 years ago. My sin. Not just, oh, well, yeah, Pastor Mike. I mean, he became like all those things that you did, but it wasn't you. That's not what it says. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. So then I put it this way, I was crucified with Christ. Now what does that do for me? Well, that lets me know that the old Mike Lindell is dead. He doesn't exist. Well, what about bad behavior when it comes back? That's the old nature. That's the old man. But truly, Mike Lindell died when Christ died, when I identified with him on the work of the cross, in the work of the cross, through the work of the cross. And now, I don't live any longer. I mean, there's people who knew me before I knew Christ, and I don't act the same. I mean, I can act the same if I choose to look below and not above. But for the most part, I try to set my mind on things above. Because mostly below is not good anymore. I mean, how many see what's on the news and how many what's on TV and what's, you know, what's on all the different social media platforms? I mean, a lot of it's just bad news. Bad behavior. You know, and the Bible encourages us not to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. In other words, you know, when we're talking, oh, did you hear about this? We're not supposed to do that. It's easy to do it because we're like blown away by what's going on, but really, it's not for us to even speak about those things that are done by them in secret. All right. Amen? Okay, I've got one more verse. Romans 6:6-7. So, This verse hopefully kind of puts a lot of this together. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Again, is that pretty clear? That old nature, Mike Lindell, was crucified.
I like that.
Crucified. Nailed. Somehow spiritually, I'm marked. I believe it. Because I fully identify with that work on the cross. So much so that I got baptized again once this revelation hit my heart. I said, I've got to get baptized again. Because I truly understand now that I was crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me, not Mike Lindell. That our old man was crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be done away with, but that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. So remember when I said at the very beginning about be renewed in the spirit of your mind? This is the idea that when we were crucified with Christ, it wasn't just so that we could be seated in heavenly places and resurrected with him, just to say we are, but it's so that we now have power over sin. That's a big deal, guys. If you think about it, that sin is no longer your master. You are sin's master. What? Yes. Because it's not you who's master over sin, it's Christ in you. So you can say, in Christ, sin is my slave. It's a slave to me. Christ is my master. Sin has to bow to what I tell it to do. I don't have to be a slave to it anymore. As it says, for he who has died, crucified with Christ, has been freed from sin. So being seated in heavenly places, yes, means that we have power to pray for people, we have power to speak boldly over people, but mostly we have power over sin. Yes. We have power over the dominion, yes, of the devil, yeah, in our lives first. which really makes the difference in how we appear to the world. Because if we don't act like the world by being sinful, we become light. You take away the darkness from us, the light exposes. And it says, whatever exposes darkness is light. And so in our own life, if we're letting our sinful behavior be exposed to God by confessing our faults one to another or bringing it before God and confessing your sins, you're being exposed to the light. And it eradicates the darkness. But I'm telling you, we do not have to be slaves anymore to the work of the enemy. Because we're seated in heavenly places, right? You are seated in heavenly places. You said it earlier. I'm seated in heavenly places. Believe it. Amen. Believe it that when you receive Jesus, you then identified with him being crucified on the cross for you. But then maybe later on you learn that I was crucified with him. That he didn't just save me from having to be the one being put on the cross. You guys realize that when Jesus hung on the cross, he took your place. Should have been you on the cross. But then we find out later on, it was you on the cross because your sin was put upon him. Your bad behavior. I say that Jesus became all of mankind's filthy rags when he hung on the cross. And then when he went to heaven, he distributed all those filthy rags people with the robes of righteousness, if they want them. And it's him. Amen? Lord, I thank you that we are seated in heavenly places. Lord, that we're not just here on this earth at 3414 Tyetan Drive. We're seated in heavenly places with you. That, Lord, even while we were still sinners, Lord, and in our trespasses, you made us alive together with you. And you raised us up. And you made us sit together in the heavenly places in you. And, Lord, you did it not so that we could brag about being seated in heavenly places or being some kind of super spiritual being, even though that's true. No, Lord. You did it so that we could be free from sin. You did it so that we could not let sin have dominion over our mortal bodies anymore. That we could be victorious, Lord, over all the things that the enemy tries to bring our way. Because you have empowered us with the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And it gives life, gives instruction, gives truth to our mortal bodies and leads us into all truth, guides us into all truth, and helps us stay on the right path. So Lord, we just declare one more time, I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And it's no longer us who live, Lord, we're crucified with you. And our old man is dead. And we are now free from sin. We believe that by faith, and we will live it out by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Got a song for us?
Cause you're my champion, and giants fall when you stand. Say I am. You crown me with confidence. I'm seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered.
Jesus has given me. Lord, a shout of praise this morning, you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, we bless today. We bless everything you've done and what you continue to do. God, I just echo what Pastor said this morning, that we were blessed, which means that that is forever and ever and ever, that he has blessed us, that that's not something he takes away. And so, Lord, we just walk in that today, God, and I thank you so much for this house, for what you're doing, what you've done, what you continue to do, and we just thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen, amen, amen.